The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
It is.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and Wynn Carpenter.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading.
Yep.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, is what I'd recommend if you're listening on the radio. We are your talk radio. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And we have an interesting show today. Last week we had James Gallagher on our show, and James is the first representative we've had anywhere that has put forth a state split plan for the state of California. And even though it's east to west, whatever that may be, the point being is that he has put that forward, and we're glad to see somebody step up. Talking about people that step up, and I guess the state of Jefferson, we have a guy on here that knows all about that from the very beginning since he was a kid, Congressman Doug LaMalfa. How are you, sir?
Good. Good, Terry. How are you all doing?
Good.
Living the dream. Living the dream.
It's dreamy these days.
So last week we had James on talking about his state split, and just to give you a real quick background on that, when we got that call, James had called me two Wednesdays ago. I was with Sally. It was our 49th anniversary. We were over on the coast in Fortuna visiting
49.
My sister.
49, wow.
Yeah, wow. Long time, huh? She looked, I mean, you know, she was only 12 when I married her. So, but I was only 13.
Yeah, right.
You know, our folks are from the old country. Anyway, so
They did get married younger back in the old west. So
yeah, they did. That's right. Yippee-ki-yay. Okay, so we were over there, and I got a phone call Wednesday morning from James, and we talked about this thing. It's the first time anybody's introduced that. But I'd like to hear your views on that, and also I know that Prop 50 could be devastating. I just talked to a friend in New York today, and boy, if California combines with New York, we're going to have a lot of problems in Congress, aren't we, sir?
Well, it's, I tease with some of my other colleagues there from Illinois and New York, and it's a three-way battle between New York, California, and Illinois for the most corrupt state, and I think you could throw New Jersey in for honorable mention, but, you know, little dose of Massachusetts, but anyway. Prop 50 is really bad news, so do you want to hit that first? You want to do the...
Well, I think what we want to do is we had some questions that were texted to us. I want to see what your thought process is on some things, and Janet, I know, has some questions. So I'd like to have this be informative, and absolutely, I mean, I think we all pretty much know where you stand on Prop 50. You certainly don't want it, do you?
Well, no, and it's, you know, you can look at it a couple ways here is that the first district of California is one of five that would be eviscerated by this going through. And I just remind folks that, you know, in this case, the state constitution is the only thing between us and it already being law. And so in the sense that the voters three different times affirmed that they don't want the legislators drawing their own lines. And so, you know, two initiatives were passed in 08 and 2010 to take the responsibility away from legislators. In 08, it was to take the state legislative seats other hands, and then they added the congressional ones in 2010. I think at the time they thought it would be draw too much opposition if the Congress was on the 2008 one, so they did it a bite at a time. So you got this Assembly, Senate, and Board of Equalization lines that were put in place in 08, and then 10 they did get the Congress added, the U.S. House. So, and at the same time, interestingly, a little bit of history popped up, is that they had another one on the 2010 ballot at the same time called Prop 27 to get rid of the commission. So whichever one got the most votes that year would have been the presumed winner on that. But I don't remember how 27 got on the ballot, but I imagine that was probably stuck on there by the legislature because they didn't like the idea of having to take it away from them. And the last time it was done by the legislature was 2001 when they called that plan, they came up with the incumbent protection plan. And so hardly any seats ever changed hands at that point. So I remind people that the Constitution is there to protect us, but it's up to us to protect it. Because as you see, there's a lot of people that are constantly looking for ways to take an eraser and bring new ink and change our federal constitution, our state one, whatever. And the state one has so many revisions because the Democrats have been in just total control for so long. You can see how many just changes they've done to that. But in this case here, with Prop 50, the only reason we're being asked is because we have a constitutional provision that the legislators have yielded to the commission to do the work, and that's been blessed.
What if they don't capitulate? See, the thing is that we all know what the law is. We all know what happens there. We, in California, whether you're for this or against this or you even care, we voted against gay marriage and they passed it anyway. We do stuff. We have 33 Democrats in our assembly, in our Senate, 7 Republicans. Nobody wins that football game but the Democrats. We have 60 in the assembly, 19 for the Republicans, and we have the spawn of Satan as our governor. So this is all fine and dandy, Congressman, but what we're trying to figure out is how we win a battle here, because they just don't follow the law. They just do what they want.
Terry, the deal is that they are, in the sense, knowing they're not going to beat the Constitution on this question. Yeah, they eviscerate the other ones, the protection of marriage under Prop 8, which was passed constitutionally, but that went into some high court somewhere, I think it's called the Obergefell decision, and for whatever reason, that one judge got to make the call, and that's it. So they have not tried to take on the commission process in California, because I don't think, they think that would be overthrown by a court. So it's still there, and it's still in place for us to have this vote on Prop 50 here coming up in November. And so in that sense, the Constitution is working, and it only breaks down if the voters are suckered into voting for this thing under the guise that the Democrats are selling. That we have to defend democracy from Trump is their whole
stick. No, you're right.
Yep. It doesn't have anything to do with the lines being inadequate or that the census. I mean, they're not using updated census data on this. No one has taken a census in the last 5 years, so it isn't because, there needs to be reapportionment based on massive population shifts from one area to the other. If they did, they'd probably find that California's shrunken even more, too. So, it isn't based on any kind of scientific thing or that the districts are being made better. It's straight for naked political purpose.
Yes.
We know
absolutely.
That, and they admit
yep.
it.
Yep. We have a question from a friend who is with the California Republican Assembly in San Mateo County. She's the chair there. And her question is, how will this affect your job if it does pass?
I don't put it in terms of my job, but the first district, the first district as it is, if 50 passes,
mm-hmm.
the map they draw has divided into three different districts now. Mm-hmm. Number two, which goes across the top, mm-hmm. would include Modoc, Siskiyou, and Shasta. And then the sliver running down the coast that throws in Trinity, Del Norte,
U.S. to Marin County? Yeah.
Entirety of Humboldt, and mm-hmm. then a sliver of Mendocino all the way down to Marin, getting yep. the north half of the Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. And so you tell me what Cedarville and Monarch County has in common with Sausalito in Marin County. There's nothing. The people introducing the wolves from Marin County are dumping them on the people that don't want them up in Modoc and Sierra and Siskiyou to an extent. Anyway, all those folks suffering this wolf problem aren't going to be heard because Huffman will, I mean, they've drawn the lines for specific legislators. Huffman can win that in a walkaway, okay? The central part of the district I was going to mention, the portion I represent now, is going to have Butte, Tehama, Glen, Sierra, Plumas, and Lassen will be coupled with Lake, Sonoma, and Mendocino. And so Sonoma is a good-sized population base, and, mm-hmm. and those other two counties are fairly strong Democrat. Well, Lake County's coming around. It's almost 50-50, you might say, but Mendocino isn't, and Sonoma certainly isn't. So those three combined will overhaul the traditional registration and attitude of people in this part of the country. You know, so again, you're having a Bay Area. Basically, Sonoma is pretty Bay Area in orientation. Okay, so you're gonna have that Santa Rosa area dominating Butte County and our other mountain counties and our valley counties here too. So you've just produced two urban districts now, and then finally the bottom counties. Yuba, Sutter, and Colusa are going to be swept into the wine country district that includes Napa and a couple others down that way, which is handpicked from Mike Thompson, the current congressman. Mm-hmm. He's a guy I work with. We get some things done here and there, but so we've all been shifted into Bay Area far left leading districts. And so basically our voice is gone because I can't imagine that these guys are going to be visiting the far eastern part of the district very often or listen to what we have to say very much because especially Huffman on that coastal one.
Okay, Doug, when does this go into effect? What's the drop-dead date that we're going to go out and commit Harry Caray if this happens?
The election November 4, it will take effect in time for them to put lines in place for the primary coming up next June. So it has to be in place for enough of a lead time for them to rejigger everything in time for that June election. So I would imagine they'll hop right on. They have the lines already drawn, done by the representatives from the Democrat National Committee. So, you know, that it isn't hard to draw them with the massive computer-assisted program they have for it.
Right.
So they're in place, and so that now it'll just be up to dumping all that information onto the county clerks. So the election itself is going to cost Californians around $280 million as a current estimate. And the counties, our 10 counties in the first district, are we got a cumulative total of about $4 million they're expecting it's going to cost them. So divide that by 10, it's going to be an average of $400,000 for each county. That would pay for probably three or four deputies for each county, you know. So it's probably going to be a bigger amount for Shasta and Butte as larger counties. Maybe I'll just guess 600,000 each, but I got the numbers somewhere. But smaller counties, a little less. But it's an expense you don't need for a political problem that wasn't asked. You know, so it is blatant, and it would probably mean five Republican seats in California would have a very, very tough time being defended. I know maybe it's possible on one or two, but the intent is to have those five seats flipped to Democrat, and then there's about four Democrat seats that they're trying to shore up so that there's no contest. And so the maps they've drawn have pretty much accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Doug, this is Janet. Good morning.
Hi, Janet.
I am looking at a map showing the Newsom redistricting plan, and of course, with the rigged districts, there will only be four that are definitely red out of the 52. And I'm looking at today's districts, And there is such a clear divide between coastal California and the rest of California, which just by chance looks exactly like the state split proposal, both from Gallagher and the four-way state split that we have proposed, going from north to south, east to west, so that the state of California looks very red on the east and very blue on the west. Does this look like a time to put forth a viable proposal to split this state?
Well, all of us that fully recognize how bad the politics of urban versus rural in this state have felt that for a long, long time. But you have to move the electorate to realize it as well. And a lot of people are just content or checked out on this sort of thing. They laugh at it. They don't talk to the people that you have the meetings with. Ask the average person on the street that might be relieving you, conservative and is frustrated with this and that, but they'll say, well, there's just no way we're going to pass dividing the state or this or that. And then you have several ideas and plans floating around there, which further confuses the issue. California out there saying, I don't know how many states they want, and then...
Oh, we're not even going to...
No, yeah,
they think Donald Trump can do it.
That's their whole method.
You got yours. You're talking four different ones, and...
Well, actually,
about just a simple,
I want to clarify that. I want to clarify that for you, Congressman, so you understand. Okay, we have a thought process here when it comes to splitting the state. When James Gallagher, who, has been under your tutelage forever... when James, who we all respect, is the first Republican and first politician, legislator, that has come forth and said, hey, the only way we can solve this mess of lack of representation and dilution of vote is a state split. In the Senate in California, we have 33 Democrats and 7 Republicans. We have 60 Democrats and 19 Republicans. A lot of times, 4 of the 19 vote with the Democrats in the spawn of Satan as our governor. And the representation ratio, you know all about this. You've studied it. You've
lived it.
And you know that in New Hampshire, they have 400 in their assembly for 3 million people. That means every 3 million human beings have representation. We have representation for
half a million in the Senate.
Well, yeah. If James is saying the only way to have a situation of adequate representation is to split the state, and I know you've been advocating that for a long time. And I remember when we were at Pete Peters' memorial, you and we were talking back and forth, and you said, you know, Terry, even a Republican governor can't help California. So,
and that's true.
And it's true, and you're right.
That's a pretty short line there, because he can veto, but he might get overridden.
Yeah, he'll get overridden.
Appoint people, but he might not get confirmed.
Yes.
I mean, it would still slow the tide. There are certain powers, but yes, a governor can't by himself with a 3-to-1 ratio in the legislature get very far.
Right. And it's not just a matter of slowing the tide, it's a matter of reversing it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to slow the tide forever. We know that we can't run a country anymore on executive orders. Okay, sooner or later the Constitution has to be involved.
Nor should we, right.
Right.
Nor should we.
That's
okay,
right.
So we have, it isn't anything against President Trump. All of us love him. You know, it's great. It's just a matter of, I know he's trying to do all the things we want him to do. It's just a matter of he can't get Congress to do anything. Well, here's my question. You know, first of all, state split seems to be the only answer. How come we're not advocating for it like James is and like you were? Number one. And number two, if we have a situation where in Article 1, Section 4, the times and places of election and any kind of voting is under the jurisdiction of the state, but, remember the word but, that always means that everything before the word but is BS. But Congress may change that law. How come Congress isn't stepping forward and just saying, okay, why don't we just get rid of the machines? Let's go back to hand counting. Because they have the jurisdiction via the Constitution of the United States and the California Constitution, which specifically says that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, which means the Constitution trumps anything the California Constitution does, and no pun intended. But I mean, so what's the holdup? I think we're getting to a point here where people in California are just, we've about had it. So anyway, answers on that.
38 or 40% have had it. There's this wide swath of coastal people that have the majority. You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, counter here with you all. It isn't. It's just that the numbers are what's killing us in the state, and the coastal folks haven't woke up to the idea of where things come from, how the economy is created, how wealth is created, how we got great as a country. That their plan isn't really it. They don't agree with us on that yet. They love what Newsom is doing. That's why he's survived a recall and been elected twice to governor. And
we're never going to have coastal California, and that's why we need to split the state. Recognize that this marriage is over. Divorce is the only answer. And that divorce goes East California and West California, and go your way. If you are that coastal California, do your own thing. But we're done.
You know, I think the
I agree 100%. Yeah. I'm equally as frustrated as you with what happens to us as rural people from folks that don't understand or don't care to understand how we live. And we, you know, all we're trying to do out here is provide the stuff they need. You know, the food, the fiber, the shelter.
Sure.
You know,
rural counties. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. We just produce the stuff that they need. Yet they try and make it impossible for us to do it with the one thing after another. So it's a better understanding of where things come from. But again, it's a long, slow slog. And I think what you're kind of getting at is, when is it time to do the split, or do
according
the
to James, it's now. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is it now, according to you? Are you fed up enough to support a state split?
Well, I support it in concept, but if the votes aren't there, then, you know, you're
well,
going
according
to...
Well, according work. To James, he said it doesn't take a vote, it takes a resolution to begin it. Because in Article 4, Section 3 in the United States Constitution, it's a state may be created within another state or a new state with a simple majority of the legislature thereof and the Congress of the United States. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with the vote, because in the East and West situation, for example, and this is part of the conversation we had with James, James had left out both Orange County and San Diego County. Now, there are a lot of conservatives down there, and they contacted James, and they said, hey, you know, we want in on this deal. If it's a vote of the people, and you're going from north to south, and if you're in Orange County, and you're in San Diego County, and you're a conservative, and you get thrown into blue hell, then you're going to vote against a state split, because the status quo is better than what you're going to get then. So the idea, and he and I talked about that at length, there's some things that can be, the four-state split may not be the answer, the two-state split may not be the answer, but the answer is a split. How that looks and how that works is something that I think that he's open to, obviously, because he brought it up. And I'll end it with this. Mm-hmm. There were 800 comments that I saw in like the first two or three hours. I would say at least 50 of them from all kind, whatever happened to the state of Jefferson. Now, that's not an advocation for the state of Jefferson. That's a recognized situation to where we have to have some kind of state split. As you say, and you're right, and as James says, and he's right, rural and urban are like oil and water.
It's turning out that way, because the split politically is so great now. I saw some of those comments. I did a little reading on that. I haven't spoken to James about the proposal, but you know, if you start lumping in, Orange County is not the Orange County we knew 30 years ago. It's dominated by Democrat politicians, and it is a Democrat registration. So is San Diego. That's not that there's not pockets, but and then you look at Riverside County. It's a Democrat majority down there. And so first of all, I didn't like the name two-state solution, which that connotes what Israel goes through with this constant, making a state out of what they want to call Palestine.
Okay, what do you think would be a better term to get the people to rally behind it?
Well, I mean, I just thought that was a misuse of a term there and that. So whatever it is, a split, a rural California split is what you're after. And so the map I saw means you're going to have the new state would be a Democrat dominated state because the registration is still in the plus several percent for Democrats. So you
not according to the map that I see here for today's districts. All of the districts that are now red would, in essence, make up the rural California
by county,
under
by
a two-week. No, I'm looking at the districts.
By county, which is what the lines were on this proposal, you add those counties together, you have a Democrat plus state. So what I've always felt all along with the thing, and I've told Terry in the past about my T-shirt I had in the 80s that showed the split there, and it didn't really have a Jefferson name on it, but just showed everything north of Sacramento, right? And I'm looking for, if I'm going to go to the trouble, a rural state is going to have our values for a long time. If you're including what San Diego and Orange County and Riverside, and those are turning into, even San Joaquin, they're just going to be problem areas that will be looking at the same issue in not that many years of being a Democrat-dominated state that isn't really
well,
that
rural. Well, a meteor might hit the earth, too. I mean, I think that what we have to be looking at is that, realistically, there has to be some kind of action. And for the lack of action, I just want to bring this point up. Okay. I'm not, right. I love you. I just want to bring this point up.
Well,
okay. The thing is that what I'm saying is that James came forth with this. I got a phone call from him. He came forth with this split. He is probably, arguably the most important Republican in the state. He came up with this. He came up with the idea of a split because he sees that as the only answer for liberty that we have. Again, 400 people in the assembly in New Hampshire, 3 million people, 400 assembly people for 3 million. You know the ratio here in California. It's impossible. We're not going to change it with any, we aren't going to be able to flip the Senate. And a lot of the people in these counties, a lot of them just aren't educated. I got calls from Santa Clara, which, yeah, is 84% Democrat, San Mateo, and from San Francisco. And my friend Manuel Barrera, after we did a Constitution class, won the Assembly District nomination by the Republicans. He got creamed by the Democrats, but he still won it. The point being is that some place along the line, we can't keep looking at how bad it is or what's happening or what the obstacles are. I think in this point, James is trying to say, hey, this is the only solution I see. What say you?
I could have proposed bills 10 different times over these years and gotten the same non-result.
Well, then don't run the football. I mean, what you're saying is I can propose it, but it won't pass. Okay, well, then what's the point?
What is the point if we're going to get all of our volunteers, all of our people, false hope that we think we can do this sometime? Because now, let me get to the end point here, okay? Let's say Proposition 50 passes, all right? And because we were having this conversation about this state reconfigure situation,
yeah,
as bad as California is getting,
mm-hmm.
But doggone it, folks. People are still too complacent out there. They're not ready for that kind of a change. Not to vote on it as a proposition, not to light the fire under their legislators, which they, if you believe that the state legislature has to approve it and Congress has to approve it as the West Virginia model, then...
The West Virginia model could never be done. That's ridiculous.
We don't have the votes.
It wasn't... When West Virginia became a state... This is what happened. The legislative body of Virginia left. They didn't pack up all the cows and pigs and trees and move them to South Carolina. They didn't have representation because their body, their assembly, their Senate, their governor said, nope, we don't want to do anything with the United States. We don't want your money. We don't want your protection. We don't want your flag. We don't want anything. We're going to go off and join the Confederate States. So those 13 counties said, hey, man, we want to stay. So we're going to stay. And that's what happened. And the Civil War was going on. I mean, right now, but our state's not doing that. I mean, I think Newsom probably still has his hand out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So,
okay. Doug, you've mentioned, you know, people voting. Nobody ever mentions about holding the ROVs, the county clerks, accountable to making sure that the election voter rosters are clean and that they don't have more votes going into a precinct than legitimate voters registered in that precinct. Nobody ever talks about that. And that's exactly what's going on here in California. It's happening all over. We know we've had it happen here. We know that. In Shasta County, we know that. We've got proof of that. So until those things are cleaned up and we have people in those offices that are running them legally, morally, ethically, and doing the right thing, nothing will change. You're absolutely right. Nothing will change because the vote is being counted by people and manipulated by people who want to have a certain outcome on that vote. And that's exactly what's happening. We know it, and we've got proof of it here in Shasta County alone. So we know if it's happening here in Shasta County, it is absolutely happening in other counties as well. So, you know, for everybody just keep saying the vote. It's not about the vote. It's about who's counting the vote. We know that. So how do we address that?
Yeah, when there's several things that need to move in parallel for sure, is that who's actually has the right to vote, that should only be U.S. citizens. And so the voter rolls need need to be alive. They need to be a resident of the state and the district that they're in, not multiple states and all that. So having clean voter rolls is extremely important on that. I believe in voter ID. I believe in paper ballots, the whole thing, guys and gals. It's just...
Well, then how come Congress doesn't do it?
Right.
How come the Republicans in Congress don't do it? It seems to me, at least the last...
propose bills, and we don't have enough votes.
Well, how come... Okay, so there's not enough. So the Republicans are jumping ship on a lot of this.
Or they're just absolute rhinos.
There's a handful of them, and
which is enough, right?
But the situation is, you got to get it through the Senate, and if it's a constitutional change, you're in a whole other realm there. So,
why would it be a constitutional change to go to the voter rolls since there are laws in the election code that gives Congress the jurisdiction to do it?
If the implication is that. Because constitutionally it was set up that the states would run their own elections.
But.
And the federal government would keep their hands off to at least an extent.
But,
so, you know.
Well, if it's a big enough but that we have the President of the United States of America trying to pass executive orders because Congress won't do what it is that he wants them to do and what the people want. And that's something else too, Doug. I think that we haven't had enough of this. President Trump won over 17 other established Republicans by going to the people. We don't have enough people going to the people. We don't have enough statesmen going to the people. I think that's where James probably maybe stepped out of his skin a little bit there and said, okay, I'm going to go to the people. But by the way, we keep talking about vote, vote, vote. What James is proposing is a resolution.
Well, when you say a resolution, what does that mean as far as...
That's James's words, not mine, my friend. That's James's words.
How do you interpret that?
Well, he said, because basically, okay, Article 4, Section 3 doesn't have anything about voting. It says nothing about the governor. It says nothing about the president. It's simply that the legislative body... So, apparently, if the legislative body puts forth this resolution, do the people actually end up voting on it? Well... In California, if you want to use the California Constitution, we can use Article 18, Section 3, which is one sentence, and that is that the electorate can amend the California Constitution by initiative. Not every state has that. We still do. That's why we went with the four-state split in the way we did. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying it's got to be done, and apparently that's the only way to do it. Or we can increase representation. And as you know, we went to court over that. And the judge said, "Ain't my job, man. You don't have justiciability."
As far as changing the state senate back to geographical instead of population based, that one.
No, we never proposed that.
We never proposed that. What we proposed was an increase in the legislative body when it comes to the assembly, so that the rural counties would be represented and that each county would have their own senator, so that as before, prior to 1964, we had that.
And okay, then, that is the state Senate thing, and then we lost Reynolds versus Sims.
That was the culmination. It was really Baker versus Carr that started it, but that was the nail in the coffin, right. Go ahead.
So the Senate just became the same as the state assembly in a population-based distribution instead of a regional one. As the U.S., I mean, I've always dumbfounded by, it's good enough for the federal level where the U.S. Senate, every state has two senators, whereas the House is distributed by population, so California has 52 and Wyoming has one. So they put that in as the compromise so that the small states didn't think they'd get completely run over by the populist ones. So we wouldn't have the union without that provision. So, and I don't know why that's not the same model for California.
Because of Reynolds versus Sims.
Because Earl Warren didn't think that far ahead.
Well, the whole premise was one man, one vote, it would be unfair and all this. So, but, you know, it's crazy. It was a good enough model for the federal, but not for the state.
Right. Well, the thing is, the state didn't adopt that. That court case was over with in 1964. California didn't adopt one man, one vote till 66. They didn't adopt that opinion. Because they still had, under Article 1, Section 4, they still had the jurisdiction over the process of voting. So the deal is that we have to be looking at now a situation where we are being told, and we understand that there's no getting around the fact that we need more representation in California. An adequate representation, as you said, with the federal model of government, every state, no matter how big or how little, has two senators. And then the House is based upon population, which is the way it should be in California and the way it was prior to 1966.
But that still won't solve California's problems.
Absolutely not.
Even if we had a senator for every county, as we at one time did, we still have a basic problem with rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal, east versus west. So how do we solve that problem to get adequate representation, which we do not have?
That's what we've all been wrestling with for a long time, isn't it?
I'm tired of lying on the mat. Yeah.
We have Mark Baird on the line. I think he's got a question for you, Congressman.
Okay.
Mark, what say you say? What say you say?
You say, hey guys,
what you
how
say.
You doing?
Good. We're doing okay, yeah, I think.
Well, I wanted to point a couple things out that are important here, and I think Doug's right about a lot of this, in fact, pretty much all of it. If we don't have huge numbers, it's not going to matter what we want. What we ran into with our lawsuit was very interesting because it wasn't the fault of the suit. We petitioned and we asked for advice from the Abbott versus Evenwell team, who got a case to the United States Supreme Court probably faster than I've ever heard of anyone doing it. And it was a representation and dilution of vote case, just like ours was. In fact, we modeled our complaint after theirs because they succeeded in gaining cert very quickly.
We have a problem in California.
Mark? Yep. Congressman, can you hear Mark?
No, I didn't.
Maybe we can't. Okay, I'll go
so you guys can finish your show then.
We have the coffee can and the shoestring here to operate on our phone line.
It's so antiquated, so frustrating because we have good people on the phone
that need to be able to hear each other to communicate to make the show better, and it falls short every single time.
Yeah,
you
want me to show and I'll be happy
later to, you know, try. So, what was Mark asking?
Mark was saying that he agrees with very much what you have to say, and there is not in California the majority vote to do a lot of what we want to do.
And that we need to get great numbers to make this happen.
Yeah.
And so, okay, the quick question is, how do we do that?
So what, I was starting,
what are we going
to
do?
Let me make this point here. But what I was starting to say is, and this is what we don't want to have happen, but the more they do to us, and let's say they pass this Prop 50 thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Each one of these districts that has just been completely flipped, I think, would be outraged by that. When you know, you get to the point where a guy like Jared Huffman is representing Shasta County and is only all about taking the water away and introducing wolves and not letting cut timber and the whole works, you know, that it keeps coming down to more and more social programs, all that stuff. He doesn't represent the type of values as a majority do around here. Will that get people outraged enough to get off the bench and engage in this?
Because will it be too little too late?
Well, I don't think it's ever too late, but just how much damage do you have to recover from? You know, how much it felt like it might be too late with Biden in there for 4 years, and we have a lot of damage to overcome, but, you know, we're...
Well, when you were talking about the election, you know, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars per county, heck, our budget here in Shasta was now hovering $750 or something like that, so half the budget is going to be put into the election for that, for Shasta County alone?
400 grand, I think your county budget is probably $200 million or something. I don't know what it is.
It's about $750 million, somewhere in there.
Oh, okay, yeah, some high number. I can't believe the numbers these days. So, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket of the overall thing, but when they're contemplating, you know, tax increases all the time, like, we need it for more cops on the street, like, well, that'd be about four deputies, I think, or three, or, you know, you'll have to ask the sheriff what it costs per deputy, but... You know what I'm saying? Is that 400 a lot better used?
No, 400 grand. Minute. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Well, if you average the 4 million, we got a survey of our 10 counties. The total price was 4 million over the 10. So some are bigger, okay. Some are smaller. It's probably a bigger number for Shasta being a larger county. It might be 800 grand. I don't know.
Okay.
Top of my head, but anyway, it's an expense you don't need. But it's Prop 50 passes. That's just one more straw on the camel's back that's going to anger at least the rural voters affected. So does that give more impetus for a state split of some sort? I would think it would, and that's the question I've been kind of contemplating.
Right.
Like, you know, hopefully this doesn't pass just because of how bad it is.
Right.
You know, it'll mean 5 Republican seats lost. It'll mean that the Constitution's been eviscerated on what the people put forward to have independent commissions. And it'll mean that it's going to be a lot harder for Republicans to hold the House majority. You turn that gavel back over to the other side, holy heck, it'll be impeachment galore and all sorts of horrific policy. I know we ain't doing great all the time, but, you know, the stuff we do pass out of committee, the stuff we try to get across our floor, except for a couple folks that stray on us or, you know, weird things that go on, it's by and large the agenda you would hope for. You put the Democrats in charge, it's night and day difference. And this is what they're trying to get by manipulating these 5 seats. It's never right mid-census, mid-decade to change these lines. I don't care if it's Texas, California, Missouri, any of the others that are, you know, doing or contemplating this. It takes the faith of the people. Half of them won't know who their legislator is anymore because they're going to be a different line with a different legislator. And all that does is mean less voter turnout, less civic action by people because they say all these guys are all the same, they're all dirty, and it doesn't matter because they're going to cheat anyway. Well, that's completely discouraging for folks like me in the elected position that wants to have, you know, a team with me and what I try to do, and for folks like you that are trying to recruit people more and more to start paying attention to this stuff. If they get away with this, it's just that much more cynicism and just a really bad policy. So we can't let them do that because we will not have a voice anymore that reflects who we are in the district. If these three, my district divided up into 3 pieces, all become urban dominated, where's our voice on water, on
well, yeah,
social,
I mean, yeah,
on,
we
on
know.
Anything,
you're right. About all that. You know, the thing is that, I think that, and, you know, and I traveled down to Southern California quite a bit. I went to at least 11 counties down there, Orange, Los Angeles, Riverside, you name it. And I was down there, and I was talking to the California Republican Assembly people at each one of these meetings and seminars and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, going down there, I got a feel of where people were coming from. And where people are coming from is that the education that we have here in the North State, as far as the Constitution and how things work, is far superior to what they have. Not that they just don't have anybody there that's leading a charge. I mean, it'd be nice if we had someone in those areas down there, statesman, someone like yourself, that could bring them around on how to understand things. The issue is that there seems to be this overwhelming thought process that California is really red. And the more I go down to these counties, I kind of see some of that. But I think, and I'll leave it with this and then turn it over to you, and that is that We educate them, but there's two other parts to that. Once we educate somebody to something, then you have to have a strategy you glean from the education you've had, and then you have to have the tactics to carry out the strategy from the education. And we aren't doing two and three. In most cases, they haven't even got to one yet. But we need to do those three things, and we need to do it quickly.
You're right. We got to grind away at this. And but I don't know, the mass herd out there is content. How many people will actually show up to these meetings?
In Orange County, we had 100.
I mean, but out of, you know, 2 million people live in Orange County, right? I'm not discounting what you're talking about or that it's good, but
I was surprised.
Until the masses start caring about this instead of just caring, you know, that they, I don't know, got Netflix available to them on Friday night.
Or maybe
whatever.
They work during the day.
Yeah. I mean, but we're arguing from the same music.
Exactly.
Here,
It's a matter of
when will enough people that are complacent be motivated enough to say, okay, I am sick of it. You are. I am. We've been for a long time. That's why we're involved. And there's, you know, another tier of people out there that are pretty interested, but, you know, they would support it if you could make it happen. But there's a great big tier of people in the third ring, let's say, it'll never happen. Oh, this or that. Like, well, are you getting sick of these gas prices? Are you getting sick of watching your country, you know, the crime rates, especially in cities? Are you just all of it, you know, all of it. Are you sick enough yet? Like, well, yeah, but I don't, it doesn't make any difference if you vote because they're all the same. I mean, that's just so discouraging. So, well, when people finally show up when there's a crisis, you know, look how outrageous things had to get inside the schools for parents to come out and finally say, we don't want you to teach this filth that you have in the libraries to our kids. We don't want you doing this where you have, you know, the drag queen story hour in the library and stuff. You know, hey, people can do that what they want to on their own. Don't push it on my kids. So people first get most defensive about their kids, and I'll throw in, and their pets. And then the other things maybe start to come. Yeah, it's crazy how on the pets part. But so that's a motivating factor. And then we saw this Charlie Kirk, whose funeral's gonna start here in about an hour, I understand.
Yep.
That, you know, what a great
incredible
leader, what a kind person who did everything he did with love and with Christ as an inspiration on that. Now, he didn't always push the religion angle so much, but it was right there. It's just right there. So if you ask him, he'll tell you. You know, and that's what made him a great leader, and that's why people are catching fire to get behind him. So the principles a guy like Charlie Kirk talked about are those of freedom, of individual rights, but also of individual responsibility. And that ultimately we're endowed by our Creator, but also accountable to our Creator, and not just, you know, what feels good today.
Right.
And so more and more people grasping those standards, and it's the young ones that are especially embracing them. Those are the ones that hit the hardest right now by his loss. But it's also, so many are taking action. There's been like 30,000, I heard, applications for more Turning Point.
52,000 at this point, but yeah, 52,000.
Okay, well, great. 50.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so this isn't just going away. He's a generational freedom fighter of our time, fighting for everybody's freedom, but also what's right.
And that's the thing. People are looking for leadership. And he clearly was doing that, and he's growing leaders within his corporation, his company. He was growing leaders to do that, and that's exactly what's happening. That's the next wave of leadership, is all these people that are following him, the young people, which I praise, you know, and applaud. They're going to be the next group of leaders. So watch out for the changes that will come from those leaders.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some serious changes, and I was really hoping that we would have some leadership currently in place with experience and knowledge and understanding that would start that, you know, pump some life into it, so when the time comes, you can pass a baton on to them and keep it going. So along those lines, what do you think about having a DOJ investigate our current governor for, you know, all the violation for immigration laws, sanctuary state, etc., yada, yada, yada? Is that ever going to happen?
The DOJ has a long list, certainly.
Well, you would think Newsom would be number one.
Yeah, San Ysidro is the largest point of entry.
You would think that Newsom himself would be number one for the violations that he's created, which has filtrated to all the other items on their list, right? I mean, everything goes through California, and then it infects the rest of the nation. You would think you would start where the head of the snake is and start working your way down. And that's
well, it would probably even start higher up with Biden and Mayorkas and those guys there that basically look the other way on the federal. The border technically is a federal jurisdiction.
Definitely.
Exactly,
and,
exactly.
And they looked away for 4 years and then the Obama years. And, I mean, even our side's been a little lax on it for a long time because, you know, I would have liked to have seen the Bush administration be a lot more aggressive on it with enforcing the border and building the fence and all the things that need to be done. But, you know, there was a political calculation there that they wanted to down, you know, lowball it a bit. So I don't know.
Well, you know, it's Title 8, 1324. Why are they harboring and shielding, you know, illegals here in our state, let alone our country? And they're allowing that to happen. The people get killed and all these other horrific things that happen.
That's a felony.
It's ugly. It's awful. Why don't we start there, start trickling with him and everybody else that's connected to him? That would clean it up very quickly. I just don't understand it. I'm simple. I'm pretty simple-minded, pretty low-key guy, but even I understand that. And I just don't understand why the elected officials are not doing anything to push that along.
And the jurisdiction is there, Congressman. It's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. It states we gave the power of naturalization immigration to you guys. We gave it to the federal government. And so, therefore, with Title 8, Code Section 1324, harboring and shielding an illegal is a crime. We don't sue the governor. We go in there. Why? I know that I think that kind of the president was alluding to that. What say you?
Repeat that as a question.
You want me to repeat all that?
Well, just the question.
No, just the question.
What say you? That was the question.
All right. I was trying to read along with you on the article here real quick at the same time, so I got a little. So well, what's just do real quick the question.
United States Code, Title 8, Code Section 1324. It's one paragraph. Harboring and shielding an illegal alien is basically a crime. You can't do that. Sanctuary cities are a crime. Sanctuary counties are a crime. Sanctuary state is a crime. And they're all crimes because in Article 1, Section 8.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have jurisdiction.
Okay, yeah.
So
absolutely. Look at how much, again, I'm just... There's, it's like you're shooting an anti-aircraft gun at the waves of planes coming in at Pearl Harbor. Which one do you concentrate on? And that's our administration.
The lead plane. Yamamoto.
So much.
You go after Yamamoto. That's where you go.
Well, they finally did with those code talkers and breaking code and all that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. You go after Yamamoto. Yamanusen. I mean, it's simple. That part's simple.
The head of the thing really was the Biden administration, Mayorkas, and you know, we have my colleagues calling for impeachment of Mayorkas. I asked them to resign.
Sure.
You know, but they weren't going anywhere as long as the Biden administration was in place. And so this DOJ has to decide, well, which things are we going to try and prosecute? Do we want to do, the Russia hoax stuff with some of those guys?
Is it which thing? Yeah.
And at the same time, we have to govern and keep things going, too.
Absolutely.
You know, Patel, you watch Cash Patel.
It's our job. We have 2 minutes. Yeah, we have 2 minutes, and go ahead, my friend. Bring us home. We got 2 minutes, about a minute and a half. Go.
Okay. The Prop 50 really should be the top priority in the next, you know, 45 days or whatever it is till November 4th. And defeating that because it isn't just about a few congressmen not getting their districts changed. This is a throwdown between Constitution being honored or not. And it's our job as citizens, the founders put constitutions into place, the federal level, and then of course our state one too, but to protect us. But we have to protect it because grubby-handed legislators in this case, and then they'll do whatever they can to eviscerate. We can't let them get away with this, okay? And what it will mean for our representation is that it will be shifted to the Bay Area here in the first district and, you know, all of our northeastern counties. It'll be shifted to the Bay Area. I challenge you to find how often these people are going to pay any attention to what we say.
Well, how about this? Why don't Doug, why don't you and McClintock and Kylie introduce the Article 4, Section 3 state split? See where it goes.
Yeah. You guys will...
I think it's timing. I think